From the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA, it's Sunday House Call. Stay with Dr. Barry Dworkin for the next 2 hours, and we guarantee you'll go away learning at least one new thing to keep you on the road to better health. Here's your host, Dr. Barry Dworkin.
Good afternoon and welcome to edition number 249 of Sunday House Call. I'm Dr. Barry Dworkin. I'm broadcasting live on the Sunday House Call Radio Network and from the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA here in Ottawa. And coming up on the show, we're going to visit an issue that you asked some questions about a few weeks ago. There was a caller that asked about colonoscopies and an article that they read that said that although colonoscopies works very well for screening tumors, for tumors on the left side of the colon, it doesn't do as good a job on the right side. Well, Dr. Nancy Baxter is a colorectal surgeon at St. Michael's Hospital and lead author of a study that was published in the Annals of Internal Medicine. We'll be talking about this and the basic science and the understanding of what is actually going on when these colonoscopies are being done. And Dr. Michel Gagne, he's chairman of the Department of Surgery at Mount Sinai Medical Center in Miami, Florida. He's an expert in gastroenterological surgery and is going to talk about a new procedure that they're doing, a microsurgical technique for people who have already had bariatric surgery, that surgery that's used for weight loss, but whose surgeries have not worked out very well. That is, they've gained weight back after this surgery, and he's now performing a technique through the mouth into the stomach to help create a situation so that people can continue to lose weight. So he'll be talking to us about that technique and why that was developed. Plus, as always, your calls at 1-800-580-2372, 1-800-580-2372, coming up in the second hour of our show. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cause of cancer deaths in North America. Screening is essential to catch the disease in its early stages. From a clinical standpoint, screening colonoscopy is considered to be the gold standard. However, there is a caveat to that. A new study published in the January 6th, 2009 issue of the Annals of Internal Medicine indeed finds that screening colonoscopy is strongly associated with fewer deaths from colorectal cancer. However, the risk reduction appears entirely due to a reduction in deaths from left-sided cancers. According to the study, colonoscopy shows almost no mortality prevention benefit for cancer that develops in the right side of the colon. I'm pleased to introduce Dr. Nancy Baxter, colorectal surgeon and a research scientist at the Keenan Research Center of the Li Ka-shing Knowledge Institute at St. Michael's Hospital. She's assistant professor in the Departments of Surgery and Health Policy, Management and Evaluation at the University of Toronto, and adjunct scientist, cancer theme group at the Institute for Clinical Evaluative Sciences, and lead study author. Good afternoon.
Hi, Dr. Dworkin.
I wanted to first start off and ask what we know about the pathophysiology of colon cancer. Specifically, again, when we're doing colonoscopies or screening, what is it that happens with colon cancer that allows us to detect it?
Well, you know, there are two things that allow us to prevent colorectal cancer deaths through screening for colon cancer. And one is that we can find cancers early before they've had a chance to spread and treat them with surgery and cure them. But the other thing is that we can actually find precursors of cancer, so things that will develop into cancer over time, and remove those and thereby prevent cancer from ever occurring. And those are called technically adenomatous polyps. And I usually describe them to my patients as almost like warts that can grow in the colon. And we think that the majority of cancers start as polyps, and if we could find them and remove them, then potentially we could prevent the majority of colon cancers and therefore colon cancer deaths.
Are there specific risk factors for the disease? For patients, are there specific groups that are more susceptible, specific age groups, family histories? What is used to determine an overall risk for someone?
Well, certainly there are things that are associated with an increased risk of colon cancer. So if you have a family member, particularly a first-degree relative, so a parent, a child, or a brother or sister who's developed colorectal cancer, that does increase your chance. People who have inflammatory bowel disease, so ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease, also are at an increased risk of developing colorectal cancer. But in the majority of cases of colorectal cancer, we can't really identify a specific risk factor that resulted in the individual having an increased chance of having colorectal cancer, and that's why we recommend screening for everyone. We recommend this based on age, though, because, you know, young people have a low risk of developing colorectal cancer. Basically, by the age 50, we think that it becomes worthwhile to start screening, so your risk of either having a polyp or cancer is high enough at that age to warrant going through screening tests.
Now, with regards to your study, what were the factors that contributed to the development of the questions you wanted to answer in your study in terms of what we know about colonoscopy prior to your study, the assumptions made about it, and the clinical outcomes that we see with it?
Well, you know, we actually don't have a lot of information, specific information, about the effectiveness of colonoscopy. You know, we have a lot of information about colorectal cancer screening. So fecal occult blood testing, which is a test where you take samples of stool and test them to see if there's any blood in them, and blood being tumors often bleed, and so blood is an indication that there's a cancer present. We know from randomized studies, so studies where half the people got tested with the fecal occult blood screening and half did not, we know from those studies that that's effective in terms of reducing the chances of people dying of colorectal cancer. So we have really good evidence for that. But the benefit isn't that great.
Right.
Now, we know that colonoscopy is a much better test in terms of determining whether people have polyps or whether they have cancer. So the assumption's been made that it should be a better test in terms of screening. And a test that's so much better in terms of screening that, particularly in the United States, it has become the recommended form of screening or the preferred form of screening. But in fact, we didn't have that kind of same level of evidence, that randomized control trial that looked at colonoscopy. We had some studies that observed people over time, but the evidence was somewhat limited. So we decided to do a case control study, which is not as good a test of a screening tool as a randomized control trial, because, you know, people are not assigned to receive colonoscopy or not based on, you know, a toss of a coin, which is a randomized trial. But this, we thought, could at least give us some evidence about the effectiveness of colonoscopy. And so that's why we decided to do this.
So how did you design the study? For our listeners, when you talk about case control studies, what does that actually imply?
Well, it is a little bit of a complicated type of study to perform and to describe. And to tell you the truth, did confuse a number of health reporters that were commenting on the study. So it takes a little bit of explaining. But what we did was we selected, found individuals who had died of colorectal cancer, because ultimately screening is designed to prevent people from dying of colorectal cancer. So we selected people who died of colorectal cancer and then found individuals who were living in the same region as those people and were the same age as those people who did not die of colorectal cancer. Now, if colonoscopy is effective in terms of preventing colorectal cancer deaths, then no one who died of colorectal cancer should have received a colonoscopy before they died of colorectal cancer, and some people who did not die of colorectal cancer would receive a colonoscopy. So that's if it's 100% effective. So that's what we did. We looked back in time to see if people who died of colorectal cancer had received a colonoscopy in the past, and compared that to the rate of colonoscopy in people who did not die of colorectal cancer in the past. And that comparison is an estimate of how effective colonoscopy is in preventing death.
We're in conversation with Dr. Nancy Baxter, colorectal surgeon at St. Michael's Hospital in Toronto. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the results of the study, how it changes the estimates in making risk reduction assessments for the screening of colon cancer, how common right-sided tumors are, what some of the reasons would explain the discrepancy in some of the findings, and what future studies should follow from this in our understanding of trying to prevent colon cancer with regards to screening. I'm Dr. Barry DeWorken. You're listening to Sunday House Call. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
You're listening to Dr. Barry DeWorken on Sunday House Call. Now back to Dr. Barry DeWorken on Sunday House Call.
Welcome back. We're in conversation with Dr. Nancy Baxter, colorectal surgeon and research scientist at the Keenan Research Center of the Li Ka-shing Knowledge Institute at St. Michael's Hospital in Toronto. She's assistant professor in the departments of surgery and health policy, management and evaluation at the University of Toronto, and adjunct scientist, cancer theme group at the Institute for Clinical Evaluative Sciences. And Dr. Baxter, before we left for the break, you gave an explanation of the design of the study and what you were looking for and set up the questions that you wanted to answer. So what were the results? What did you see when you looked at these patient groups?
Well, overall, what we found was that colonoscopy did seem to be effective in terms of preventing colorectal cancer deaths. So demonstrating that, you know, this test does work very well. So what we found that was that the risk of dying of colorectal cancer was reduced about 30% in people who had colonoscopy. And just to put that into context, we think that the reduction in risk of death from breast cancer with mammography is in the range of about 25%. So this makes colonoscopy one of the most effective screening tools that we have. But this was a much less effective than we thought colonoscopy would be when we initially designed the study, and much lower effectiveness than had been estimated in previous studies. So what we did was decided to look to see if we could potentially explain what this discrepancy was between our findings and what had been assumed. And so one of the things that has been found in previous work is that people who have colorectal cancer, if they have colorectal cancer on the right side, they're more likely to have had a colonoscopy recently, i.e. that the colonoscopy missed the right side of cancer than people with left-sided cancer. So we decided to see if the side that the cancer was on was important to predicted the effectiveness of colonoscopy. And indeed, that's what we found. What we found was that colonoscopy was highly effective in preventing deaths from left-sided cancer. So about two-thirds of the deaths from left-sided cancers appeared to be prevented. But it didn't really seem to be effective at all in terms of preventing right-sided colorectal cancer deaths. And the magnitude of that difference was actually really quite surprising to us.
Why is this, though? Is there a morphological difference that the appearance is different on the right side? Is it a technical problem? Is it a bowel preparation problem? What are some of the issues that may explain why there is this big discrepancy?
Well, you know, of course, our study isn't able to answer those questions, so all of this is speculation, and I think it's going to be the basis of future research. But I think all of those things that you mentioned are important contributors. So the right colon, you know, we enter the, when we perform colonoscopy, we enter through the rectum and then go through the left colon to the right colon. So obviously it's harder to get to the right colon than it is to the left. And sometimes someone can be doing a colonoscopy and think they're in the right side and actually not be there, and so can entirely miss the right side. Obviously, it's not going to be effective if you don't get there. So I think that that's one of the things, and it relates to the quality of colonoscopy. The good news on that is that quality of colonoscopy does appear to be improving over time as we understand the importance of high-quality colonoscopy and what the important elements of colonoscopy are that increase the quality. So that does seem to be improving, so hopefully colonoscopy performed today, remember, most of these scopes were performed in the 90s, so colonoscopy today hopefully is more effective on the right side. But there are other things. So another thing is, as you mentioned, the preparation. The preparation on the right can be worse than the preparation on the left. It can be more liquidy and kind of coat the lining of the colon, so it's more difficult to see polyps. So that's one thing. And to all your listeners, if you're having your colonoscopy, complying with your preparation, making sure you take that preparation as directed, is really important to maximizing your possible benefit from colonoscopy. But the final thing is there does seem to be a difference in how polyps develop and potentially how cancers develop on the right side and the left side. Once cancer has developed, it seems to act the same way, but we know that polyps on the right side tend to be flatter. And so as you can imagine, if they're flatter, they're harder to see than the polyps on the left, which look much more like mushrooms and are easier to see. They have a stalk to them, so they're also easier to take out. On the right side, they can be actually quite difficult to take out effectively. So I think that there is some component of tumor biology that also explains the difference in effectiveness that we found.
So this is very interesting because this now opens up a lot of questions, as you just mentioned. One, you have data from the 1990s. So we now would say, okay, well, what's happening in this past decade with regards to technological changes, experience in using the devices, and has it improved in terms of detection and screening, the percentage of risk reduction? And secondly, the actual biology and the development of the tumors and how they appear, now there's a question of, are they different? And if they are different, why? And so I find this very interesting.
Mm-hmm. And what we're doing for a follow-up study is we're actually looking at people who developed colon cancer and getting a group of people who had cancers that were missed by colonoscopy. They had colonoscopy within 3 years beforehand that didn't find the cancer. And people who had cancer that was detected by colonoscopy. And we're going and seeing if we can find differences between those groups and factors related to their scopes. Were the preparations worse in the group that had missed cancers? Were the scopes less likely to get to the end of the right colon and the missed cancers? But we're also going to be getting the actual specimens from those tumors to see if there are biologic differences, genetic differences, right, in cancers that were missed and cancers that were detected.
Are there as well, when someone says, okay, or a patient's in the office and you say, okay, you're 50 years old, it's time for a screen. Someone listening to this data will say, and again, it depends on how it's reported, because the questions that we got were that, well, I heard colonoscopy is not very good for you because, you know, it missed these cancers. And that's part of the problem with how things are reported. And I think it's important to really emphasize that it is an excellent screening tool. In this case, the data shows on the for the left side. So you still, it is providing you with some valuable information.
Yes. But I think it's also important to understand that there are options for colorectal cancer screening. And although we think other options, so testing your blood for your stool for blood, fecal occult mm-hmm. blood testing, and flexible sigmoidoscopy, so looking at the left side only with a scope, although we think that those two tests are less effective than colonoscopy, those are still good tests mm-hmm. for colorectal cancer and are a lot less invasive. And don't require the full bowel preparation that colonoscopy does. So I think it's really important that people have a good understanding of what the potential benefits of the various forms of screening are, particularly one that's pretty invasive like colonoscopy is. And I think in the past we were telling people that we could prevent 90% of cancers.
Right.
So I think this is a bit of a wake-up call to people who are doing endoscopy that we really shouldn't be making promises to people that aren't consistent with what we can deliver.
Now, with regards to, and I liked how you used the risk reduction with regards to comparing to mammography so that there's a good understanding that mammography is an accepted practice for screening for breast cancer and how the colonoscopies reduce the risk 5% more, 30% versus 25%. So when we use that, how does that compare then to some of the other screening practices, for example, fecal occult blood testing? So if, say, someone's coming in again to the office and saying to me, well, how much better is one over the other? What can we say based on the evidence that we have today?
So the estimates from the trials that were done in the in populations versus in selected volunteers show that the reduction in deaths with fecal occult blood testing are around between 12% and 15%. So much lower mm-hmm. than what we have with colonoscopy. Nothing to sneeze at. I mean, the colon cancer, as you said at the introduction,
right,
is the second most common cancer killer in Canada. But definitely less effective than colonoscopy. And additionally, if you have a positive fecal occult blood test, you need to be followed by colonoscopy.
Right.
So it does require follow-up if you have a positive test. But it is less invasive, for sure, than colonoscopy is. So I think different strategies are going to be preferable to different patients. And it's good that we have choices. It makes it difficult for the family practitioner, and I do feel bad for you because it takes a long time to explain these things.
Well, my bias, and I have to be, and I've mentioned this on the air many times, my bias is to recommend colonoscopies over the fecal occult blood testing, and my reasoning is, in part as to what you've mentioned, you can have a polyp that doesn't bleed. And so as a result, your fecal occult blood test may say everything is okay, and yet you may still have that polyp there that has the potential to become cancerous, and you don't know that it's there.
For sure. And when we're not to compare colon cancer screening to breast cancer
right.
screening, because obviously it's important to reduce risk of death from any common cancers, but colonoscopy and colon cancer screening in general, even fecal occult blood testing, has the ability to actually reduce the risk of ever developing cancer, which is something different mm-hmm. than breast cancer screening, which does not reduce your risk of developing breast cancer. So, you know, I think that there's great potential for improving the rates of screening for colorectal cancer in Canada.
Dr. Nancy Baxter is colorectal surgeon and research scientist at the Keenan Research Center of the Lekaching Knowledge Institute, St. Michael's Hospital, assistant professor in the Departments of Surgery and Health Policy, Management and Evaluation at the University of Toronto, an adjunct scientist, cancer theme group at the Institute for Clinical Evaluative Sciences, and leads study author in of colorectal cancer screening, colonoscopies, in the January 6, 2009 issue of the Annals of Internal Medicine. And Dr. Baxter, I'd like to thank you very much for taking all this time, writing a really great review and understanding of the limitations and the benefits of colon cancer screening, especially with respect to colorectal cancer and fecal occult blood testing.
Well, thanks so much for having me, and thank you for your interest.
Oh, you're very welcome. All the best.
Bye now.
You're listening to Dr. Barry Dworkin on Sunday House Call.